From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Happy Victoria Day to our Canadian friends. Hope you had an incredible holiday. Floating format tonight as well. Later, Daniel Estulin joins us. The Bilderbergs and Shadow Masters. Get ready for that. But here's what's happening. The Obama administration's point man on the oil spill has rejected the notion of removing BP, that's the company, and taking over the crisis, saying the government has neither the company's expertise nor its deep-sea equipment to do the job. The White House is facing increasing questions about why the government can't assert more control over the handling of this disaster, which unfolded after a BP offshore drilling rig blew up on April 20th, killing 11 workers there. And the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Lisa Jackson says the government is not prepared at this point to forbid BP's using of a controversial chemical dispersant to fight the spread of this massive oil spill in the Gulf. But she said she expects to see a reduction in the amount of the dispersant, Coexit, that BP is using. About a week or so ago, David Bloom said on this program, look out for these chemicals. They're out there. And here he is right now. David, it looks like they want them to slow down, but they haven't forced them to yet.
Well, they can't. We all know who's in charge of the government, and it sure isn't the people we elected. You know, this Coexit stuff has been around a long time. It's made by BP. Oh, and Exxon. And they used this back during the Alaska oil spill, you know, when the Exxon Valdez broke up. And what we're talking about stuff was so toxic and so poisonous to not just the sea life, but to the people handling it and to the people eating the sea life, that the state of Alaska banned it from using oil spills for the future. And in fact, this chemical, I'm right on the EPA website right now, lost its listing with the EPA, and it was relisted on May 2nd. Specifically for this, for the BP to be able to use it.
David, this dispersant is probably worse than the oil spill by itself, isn't it?
It's almost as poisonous as the oil itself. If you look at the toxicity index, oil by itself, this is fuel oil, which is not as toxic as crude oil, is about 16 parts per million, which is not very much, a very toxic small amount. Together, these things are only 18 parts per million. So in other words, it does not make the oil less toxic to disperse it. What it does is makes it so you can't see it. In other words, it mixes with water, and for some days away from the rig, it sinks to a few hundred feet deep. So if you can imagine this, there's a plume down there that's about 20 miles wide, 300 miles long, and several hundred feet deep. And it's this floating amorphous amoeba, giant amoeba down there, that is gooey, small oil particles, and they move with the currents, they're heading for the Gulf Stream, and all the sea life is absorbing this stuff.
David, when are they going to admit they can't stop this leak?
You know, I'm afraid that they're not going to admit it. And you've already got people tossing around ideas like we better use a nuclear bomb to close off this well.
Yeah.
But that potential is actually so frightening that, we're talking about making the whole bottom of the Gulf in that area unusable for food production for many, many years, just like when Chernobyl went down. So, that's not a solution. And if you go ahead and put this thing down the well and blow it off, there's no guarantee that we won't create fissures that will create a dozen leaks.
Absolutely. David, thanks. His website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. The doctor whose research linking autism and the vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella influenced millions of parents to refuse the shot for their children has been banned from practicing medicine in his native Britain. Dr. Andrew Wakefield's 1998 study was discredited, but vaccination rates never fully recovered, and he continues to enjoy a vocal following. Wakefield was the first researcher to publish a peer-reviewed study suggesting a connection between autism and the vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella. But to me, it sounds like the big boys got to him, and he will not be allowed to practice medicine in his native Britain. If you prefer organic foods, listen to this. There is currently no strong evidence, according to research, that organics bring nutrition-related health benefits. A disappointingly small number of well-designed studies have looked at whether organic foods may have health benefits beyond their conventional counterparts, according to the review by researchers with the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Health. Moreover, they found that studies have been done have largely focused on short-term effects of organic eating, mainly antioxidant activity in the body, rather than long-term health outcomes. And most of the antioxidant studies failed to find differences between organic and conventional diets. Susan Smith-Jones, just on with us. This has got to be very much of a slap in the face to you, Susan.
Well, it's not. And, George, it's been a long time.
Too long.
Yeah, since Friday. And while we might not have control over what's happening in the Gulf, we do have control over what we eat. And I took a look at this, and the huge headline today said, "No evidence organic foods benefit health." But if you look more closely at the review of these studies and the write-up, you'll see that the heading was not really accurate because they always go for the shock value.
Mm-hmm.
In this study, they looked at a variety of studies. And of the 12 studies the researchers identified, six were short-term clinical trials that looked at whether specific organic foods changed markers of antioxidant activity in the participants' blood. And while the trials showed no strong evidence that organic eating boosted antioxidant activity, the studies were very limited in scope. They were small, George. They were really small. In fact, the largest one had 43 men, not 4,300 or 430, but 43 men, and it lasted no longer than a few weeks.
So you would continue to eat organic foods over the conventional foods?
Oh, I definitely continue to eat organic. See, the researchers agree we've got to have better designed studies, and while the jury's still out, George, there's other reasons to eat organic other than just the nutritional content. You want to keep in mind that organic foods are those made without the use of those conventional pesticides, fertilizers, antibiotics, hormones.
Well, and to me, Susan, that is reason number one to eat organic foods. Thanks so much. Susan Smith-Jones, her website, too, is linked up at our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. Feature story at coasttocoastam.com. NASA's long-dormant Phoenix Mars lander is broken and officially out for the count. With new images taken by an orbiting probe, showing severe damage to the spacecraft's solar panels due to the harsh Martian winter. Repeated attempts by NASA in recent months to try to reestablish contact with Phoenix following its winter hibernation were unsuccessful, with no peeps coming from the lander. The new photos of Phoenix, sent back by NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, indicate that the lander has suffered severe ice damage to at least one of its solar panels. By the way, our space show Wednesday, don't forget, with Richard C. Hoagland, former astronaut Buzz Aldrin, Howard Bloom, and others, as we talk about NASA and its mission. In the news at coasttocoastam.com, archaeologists have unearthed 57 ancient Egyptian tombs, most of which hold a ornately painted wooden sarcophagus with a mummy inside. The oldest tombs date back to around 2750 B.C., during the period of Egypt's first and second dynasties. And a family has defied the odds to have a son, father, and grandfather all born on the same day. Different years, of course. When Benjamin Fox arrived in the world on May 8th, he shared the same birthday as not only his father Lee, but his grandfather Harry. The bookmakers have worked out the odds of three generations of the same family all having boys born on the same day as 272,910 to 1. Hey, do you use Facebook, Twitter? Did you use MySpace? What's going on with the internet? What's going on with all these social groups? Up next, Bill Wagoner joins us. We talk about the possibility of invasion of personal privacy and much more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Bill Wagoner is a crusader for truth, justice, and the American way. He has been in the internet marketing business for a number of years. He has encountered every internet scam artist you could possibly imagine. His website is about exposing lies, myths, scams, and censorship that happens behind the scenes on what people call the internet. The average internet user has no idea about how they are stolen from, censored, spied on every day. His work, his book, and website explain everything that happens behind the scenes of popular companies like Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, America Online, Yahoo, Google, Microsoft, and the rest. Confessions of a Spam King. Here's Bill Wagoner. Bill, welcome.
Thank you very much, George. It's an honor to, talk to you. Goodness gracious.
Why do they call you the Spam King?
Well, here's the reason why. In 2003, I had an invitation. And forgive me if I'm a little nervous. You're an honor to speak to you for years.
It's just you and me, Bill. That's it.
Okay.
It. And a few other millions of people, but don't worry about it.
Okay.
You have dealt with more people on the internet, so you'll be fine.
Yes, I have dealt with so many people and so many ripoff artists and things. And the reason they call me the Spam King, actually, the name was termed by MSNBC because of in 2003, I spoke in front of the federal government, in front of the FTC, and they wanted to define what spam was and what just email marketing was, or just what email was. And so people were invited. Anybody in the email industry or a marketing industry was invited. And I decided to say, hey, of course, I'm going to come up there. I'm going to stand up, and I'm going to say what I believe and stick up for Americans and their small businesses and their right to free speech.
Yeah.
And so I went up there. I was scared out of my mind. I thought I was going to be shot on the spot. I got off that plane and I go into D.C., and I thought someone was going to be waiting there for me.
They weren't there with open arms, were they?
No, they were not. No one was at the airport. But when I got up, pulled up in the taxi cab, I saw hundreds of people in front of the FTC building. And I was like, oh, man. Uh-oh, here we go. And so I went in, and I spoke in front of Google. I was sitting right next to the chief software engineer of Google. He was sitting right next to me. The whole audience in front of me was a bunch of just really weird, lunatic type of people that just love to stalk and harass you. Let's put it that way. And I was getting booed. You can't hear it, but you can see it on C-SPAN. You can watch the whole entire testimony.
It was a setup, wasn't it?
Oh yeah. But I gave it to him really good. I was on 2 hours of sleep. I flew in from Las Vegas. That's where I'm from, where Art Bell used to be.
Yeah.
Prompt, right?
Yep.
Right. And so I flew up there, and I found 2 hours of sleep because I was so nervous that something was going to happen that day. Thank God they had metal detectors. That's all I had to say about that there. But so I spoke, and what happened out of that was I helped pass a law called the Can Spam Act of 2003. And that law defined what spam is and what spam is not. Because what I said was that, look, just because somebody sends an email to somebody doesn't make it spam.
Right.
Just because someone forwards someone a joke or, wants to tell them about a book or someone's website does not make them a spammer. Just because someone has a list of people that are subscribed to their newsletter, for example, like yourself,
sure,
you're not a spammer. And so that was my argument. And I basically was saying, look, it's the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States, freedom of speech. And we are not people, at least me, I am not a person that scams anybody. So what I did is I pulled a Bill Clinton. That's what I call it. Changing the word around.
Yeah.
So, and I said spam is scam. That's exactly what spam is. It's not legitimate marketing. It's nothing to do with legitimate stuff. Like Nigerian things that you get.
Oh, my gosh. I'm still getting them, Bill.
Exactly. And I went there to stop those types of people, okay? That's what I did. But what I did stop out of this whole situation was I stopped about 90% of the pornographic email that people get because right. I knew at that time, I predicted, I said, listen, guys, I said, I know, this. I said, first, this is the new economy. The internet is the new economy. Bottom line, that's it.
And it's huge.
It's huge. Now everybody gets their news from the internet. They listen to you. They can do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
But people want to control that. So I was interviewed by hundreds of different people in the newspaper and whatnot and things like that. But MSNBC ran a story called The Top 10 Spam Kings. Well, real spam king, please stand up. And so, okay, there was 10 of them, and I was on number 3 for some reason. And they were accusing me of something, something to do with male enlargement type stuff. And I have never done any of these types of things, okay? Now, the difference, the reason why I wrote my book called Confessions of a Spam King and even termed myself that, because out of those 10 people, I am the only one that's never been sued or never been put in jail or I've not been killed.
Oh, my God.
The rest are either dead or in jail. That's it.
What did they do?
Well, they were doing things that are totally illegal, like penny stock scams. I'm sure everybody's seen those out there. They're doing things like the Nigerian scams, doing tons of illegal activities, just stealing your passwords and, you know, to hijack your computer, send you viruses and to use your computer to send out their email. And, for example, a friend of mine the other day, his wife, this still happens today, it's called phishing. And
with a P, right?
Yeah, with a P, correct. And this guy, his wife, got an email from Wells Fargo. It looked like Wells Fargo, but it wasn't Wells Fargo.
It's got their logo and everything, right?
Right, exactly. And most people never just check, you know, different things. They don't really kind of just don't understand the internet like most, you know, like myself, like me. I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, I've been doing this 16 years. And I realized that a lot of people don't have a lot of the information that they need to know. And so anyhow, they ask for her bank account information to revalidate it. And sure enough, that's what she did.
Oh, so she gives her password, she gives the account number.
Yes.
And they wipe her out, I bet.
Yes.
Oh.
That happens to people every single day. So that is why I went there, to try to stop this.
How do they find you? You know,
that's so easy.
I mean, how do these people know that she banked with Wells Fargo? Or do they just send it out to everybody and they hope 10% of them bank with Wells Fargo?
That's one of the ways, definitely. There's other ways, too. For example, myself, people follow me around like some kind of, it's like a stalking issue. It really is. It's like people make things about me, and it's unbelievable. I mean, the stories I could tell you about this myself, it's just amazing. But forget me. It's not about me. It's about the American people. And their money again. So how do they find you? It's very simple. It's really, really so simple. People post their information on the internet. Okay.
Right.
I mean, anytime you post anything on the internet, you become public.
Right. Right.
And so what they do is they do a scour of search engines, things like this, and they can find your email address, find out what you do. And for example, Facebook is your perfect example. And Twitter, there's over 500 million people on Facebook alone right now.
500 million?
Yes. That's bigger than the United States.
It's blown right past MySpace, hasn't it?
Oh, totally. Totally. MySpace was so easily hackable because what would happen would be like, okay, like, you know, people would want to spice up their MySpace site with other, you know, like pictures and whatnot. So you'd go and you'd type into Google or whatever, and you'd want some logos or whatever. But next thing you know, without you even knowing it, you're hacked. You're totally hacked. Completely hacked. Your computer's completely hacked. You wouldn't even know it. Norton's antivirus, we've all heard of that.
Right.
Doesn't even pick these things up. They have no clue.
You know, I brought a computer in a few months ago, and the computer specialist put on, I guess, malwares.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And said Norton doesn't even work as well as it used to. Is that true?
It's absolutely 10,000% true. 10,000% true. It doesn't work at all. I'll just tell you that straight up. Norton's antivirus, McAfee, AVG, they just don't work.
Every time it catches a virus, it can't fix it.
Right.
It says, you know, you can't quarantine it. You can't fix it. And,
right.
And so I say, what good is this thing?
Yeah, exactly. It's good for looks. It's good for the...
It makes you think you're protected.
Exactly. Over the years of me doing what I do, I mean, people are trying to constantly hack me, but they can't. And there's a reason for that, because I have found a program that actually stops this, and it's free. It's absolutely 100% free.
Nothing wrong with that. Bill, we're going to take a quick break, then I want to chat with you about why people demonize you. And then let's get into Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and all these other online systems that so many people are signing up for. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment with the Confessions of a Spam King, Bill Wagoner, right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's George. Yeah, you can email me during the show while we're talking about this. George@coasttocoastam.com. Yes, and you're listening with Bill Wagoner as we talk about Confessions of a Spam King, and there's much more when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And we're with Bill Wagoner. Bill, why do they demonize you? Why do they come out of the woodwork to go after you?
Because I don't stand down to these hackers. I do not stand down to a company called SpamHouse.org. For example, SpamHouse.org is spelled like this, SpamHaus.org. This company and the hackers of the world. Okay, we all know about hackers. We all know about being, they call it trolling, or they call it prank calling you or trying to send you viruses. I'm the guy that does not stand down to these people. You know, for example, what happened, well, you know, just to give you a perfect example.
Sure.
People have bought, there's blacklists that are out there. Blacklists.
Well, where people. Yeah, what is that?
Okay, a blacklist. Well, what a blacklist is when this company, SpamHouse.org, which works with all these major companies, you mentioned earlier, and we'll mention more later or whatnot. But what they do is they don't like you for whatever reason. They're based out of the United Kingdom. So they're basically untouchable from a court of law basis.
Mm.
Okay? But I don't stand down. I just will not, you know, this is the United States of America. I don't live in the United Kingdom, and I don't live in this, you know, the old Soviet Union. We all have freedom of speech, and I don't stand down to these hackers, and I don't stand down to these people that try to blackmail and extort and do all these different things. So, you know, they, in my early beginnings of when I started doing email marketing and things like this, I would just take them on, and I'd just say, look, I am not, who are you guys to tell me what I can do and what I can't do on the internet? As long as I'm not hurting anybody, what's the issue? But I'd get attacked and attacked and attacked, prank calls. I mean, the amount of prank calls I would get, it'd just be amazing. I mean, things, the nastiest things. But the reason is I don't stand down for these people. They can troll me and hack me and say whatever they want to say, or try to hack me, I should say now. They can now. It's impossible. But they think they can. I give them back their own medicine. For example, there's a company out of the United Kingdom called, I told you the name, and there's another one out there called UCE Protect.
They're all out there.
Yeah, they're out there. And they bribe people. They actually demand a bribe. There was a hospital, for example, a hospital, I think in California, I think it was. I forget the story, but there's been a lot of them, where these hackers have said, listen, we have all your medical records. We have everything on your computers. Either send us X amount of dollars, or we're not going to give them back.
Extort them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this one company called the FBI and told them, and the FBI said, hey, just pay them.
Now, pay them?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I said to these people many times, I don't care what you do with me. You can blacklist me. You can say whatever you want to say about me. That's fine. But then they cross the line, though. When they cross the line is when, you know, I mean, extorting innocent people. I mean, if you can talk bad about me all you want to, people can just say whatever they want to say, that's fine. But when it comes to the American people and innocent grandmas and grandpas and just innocent people, period, they should not be subject to this type of extortion. So that's why I went to D.C. to fight against this type of thing.
Is anybody really on a governmental level, Bill, doing anything to protect people?
No. 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 Mm. There is a law, though. There is a law. And once the politicians find out that this affects them, then they might do something about it, because they do their fundraising through email. They do their fundraising through all these different means, through the internet. But little do they know that this company I just mentioned and numerous other hacking groups out there do this blacklisting thing where, like, your domain name, like let's say you have any domain name, doesn't matter. They blacklist this domain name so you can't communicate with other people. And so once the politicians find out about that, what are they going to do? I mean, they're going to be very upset. I don't think they're involved. I know they're not involved, to be honest with you, and I know for a fact the government's not involved. They're just not paying attention.
Well, maybe one day they'll have to, Bill, to protect people.
Well, on my website, what we've done...
888freedom.com?
Yeah, okay. 888freedom.com. We put together a petition, and this petition demands the federal government to have more hearings about this. And when they go there and they just put in their, you know, their name and their email address or whatever, and it goes to every politician, every senator, every congressman, everybody that needs to know in the FTC and the FCC, and it just hits them, bam. So we need the federal government or somebody to pay attention, somebody out there to pay attention to what is going on with the internet. Because if we lose the internet, what do we have?
Could we lose the internet?
We could lose the internet very fast. Absolutely. Google and these guys, they want to take over so bad. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, Facebook, they've come out and just basically said it.
How do these places like Facebook, let's just use MySpace as an example. It's not nearly what it used to be.
Right.
But Fox bought them, right? Did Fox buy MySpace?
No, not that I'm aware of. Okay. Not that I'm aware of. They,
for a lot of money, right?
Yes, they get really big. Absolutely. They get really big and they sell right out. I mean,
how does a company like MySpace make money when everybody who's on it gets on for free? So where do they make their money? In ad space?
Absolutely.
Much money in that?
Oh, huge, huge. And here's the kicker. Okay, for example, everybody knows how Google and everybody knows how, you know, you see these little, you know, ads on the side and you can do a Google search, right?
Right.
Or you're on MySpace or you're on
Twitter.
Whatever company it is, wherever it is, ad space you see, okay? But let's use Google as the perfect example, okay? And let's use MySpace and let's use whoever we want to use, but let's just mainly use Google for now. People have to buy those ads, number one. So when they go in and they go to bid, well, first, let me start back. Let's start over just a little bit. I got Google to admit to me on camera, in front of the federal government, on camera, to say to me these words. I said to them that they asked me, they said, the Federal Trade Commission chairman at the time asked me, he said, Bill, how do you get your email addresses? I said, well, I banner space and different things from different companies like Google. He's sitting right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And on camera, this guy has the audacity to tell America that Google makes no money whatsoever. And I said, are you sure about that? I said, are you sure about that? And he goes, absolutely, 100%. I go, I laugh to myself like you just did. And I go, I'll see it to believe it. Now look how big of a company they are.
Oh, my
God.
Publicly held and still the founders still have, I think, control of the company between the three of them, and they're still worth billions of dollars.
Yes, and they own part of MySpace. They own part of Facebook, Twitter. They own part of their hands are in everything you could possibly.
Is the name of the game with like Facebook and Twitter and MySpace to just get a lot of people on it so you can sell these ad spaces?
Mm-mm. No, I wouldn't say so. In my opinion, I would say definitely not. I would say the name of the game is definitely money as far as ad spaces is concerned. But the thing is that these companies, what they do, especially MySpace, and especially Google, those two guys, especially those two companies. And, a little known fact about Twitter. Twitter, before they were Twitter, in 2003 when I spoke, the law got passed. And pornography spam that was being sent out all over the world. In the droves back then. Twitter was not Twitter then. They were a different company. They were the largest pornography spam organization in the entire world. And because of the law getting passed, can spam law, of how much trouble you could get into by sending out these types of things, they changed their game plan. I said, well, let's
go in this direction. Huh?
And they never sold an ad ever until this recently, until Google got a hand in their pocket. And now, after all of these years, now they're accepting ad space money. So the name of the game for Twitter is just getting your personal information.
Now, what do they do with it? Sell it?
In my opinion, I would say definitely so. And I would say that absolutely, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
I mean, is this something you have to prove, or you just know this?
I have my sources.
All right.
Yes, and me even telling this story right now and talking about these things to you could endanger me. It really could.
You mean danger you physically or financially?
Physically, absolutely. I've been threatened by so many different people over the years, against my family. I'm a single father. I have a 9-year-old girl and a 14-year-old son. They live with me. I'm a single dad.
That's not easy.
No, it's not. It's not easy, but it's great. I love being a single father. I love kids. I love my kids to death. But these people, they want to go after my kids. They want to go after my family. They'll take, you know, everybody knows what Adobe Photoshop is, or some kind of morphing picture or whatever, and take pictures of my kids. And you know, I have a Facebook account, but I didn't know at the time. It's how I got learning into Facebook and how they did things and how their privacy settings don't mean anything. I got on there just because, like, anybody else gets on there to find their friends.
Right, right. Okay? That's what it is.
And all of a sudden, one day, I look on my Facebook, and I see someone had posted something all over my wall, even though my privacy settings were all the way up to the max. Pornography, child pornography, with my kids in it.
What?
Yes. Child pornography with my children in it. That they had taken my kids' faces.
Put them on somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
What's your recourse on that?
I have no recourse on that. None whatsoever. Mark Zuckerberg, the guy who owns Facebook, he does not care about your privacy whatsoever. It came out of his own mouth so many different times. It's all over the place. He says privacy is dead. And to quote him, he says, if he could redo it all over again, recreate Facebook, he would make everybody's information public. Everybody's information public.
Is that one of the reasons why, for example, the ACLU is going after Facebook?
Exactly. Well, in 2008, they actually they did go after Facebook because of, for example, I don't see why kids should be on Facebook, for one thing, because there's 90,000, this has been studied and looked upon, 90,000 child predators, child molesters, let's call them
what they are. Just scanning this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That are members of Facebook. 90,000. Now, how easy is it for somebody to steal your information and your identity on there? How easy is it for someone to access all the information?
Well, look at Twitter, where, Bill, don't they post? Don't people post that, hey, you know, I'm going to Joe's Hamburger Place tonight. I'll be there at 9. And then everybody finds out about it, right?
Exactly. That's what I've been saying all this time. You took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah, you know, for example, I mean, imagine, say, a mother, right? A mother. She's divorced because maybe, say, the husband is a bad guy, right? Or the ex-boyfriend or whatever. And she's posting on Twitter saying, well, you know, hey, I'm going out tonight. I finally got a babysitter. And I'm going to this place.
Yeah.
Going to wherever.
Look out.
And you can use Google Maps.
I am told that people who want to rob houses scan these places, these sites to see if someone says, I'm leaving my house tonight, and they find out where you live, and they go and rob you. Is this true?
Yes, it's absolutely true. There was a website called robme.com. They had to take it down. And everybody that was, for example, posting like you're talking about, but also anybody in foreclosure or anybody that was short selling, it was getting posted right there on Twitter as well.
So there's a blessing here, Bill, and then there's a curse, isn't there?
Exactly. There is. My girlfriend, for example, she's short selling her house here in Las Vegas.
Short sale is basically you've gotten permission from the lender to sell it at less than what you owe, and the lender won't come after you. Right.
Right. because of the economy and how
the Brexit bubble. You end up selling, and they agree to what the price is going to be, though. I mean, they're not going to let you sell it for $2.
No, nothing like that at all. Right, exactly. This is the value of the house. And but anyhow, the thing is, luckily she had two police officers that lived across the street from her, because one night, some let's say gangsters, let's call them that, of the rap persuasion, come to the door. They ring the doorbell. She doesn't answer the door. Then she hears this turning on her lock, on her doorknob. And she's freaking out. It's her by herself with two little Pomeranian dogs. No gun in the house, no nothing. She calls her police friends across the street, and luckily, they checked it out. There was three of these guys trying to break into her house to squat or steal anything that was in there.
Just because of all this. Yep.
Mm-hmm, because they knew. They could use these social media networks, these search engines, whatever, to find out exactly what's going on.
Are some of these companies, are they doing this because it just got too big and they can't control it, or do they have a sinister motive behind all of it?
I would say a majority of them probably have, I would call it, I'd say they really just don't know what they're doing.
There's a profiteering motive, probably.
Okay, yeah, the big companies, for example, like Google, Facebook, Twitter, AOL, Yahoo, Hotmail. I'll tell you a story about Hotmail that'll just blow you away. MSN, that's Microsoft. Hotmail's Microsoft. But they know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. For example, anytime you send an email out for any of those services I described, anytime you send an email out from them, which we know they have millions of people on Hotmail, there's millions of people on Gmail, there's millions of people on, Yahoo, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Every time you send a message, that message gets stored in their servers. So your personal documentation is not your personal documentation.
No, it's there. Not that they have a little man looking at it every day, but it is there, isn't it?
We don't know. Yeah.
No, we don't know.
But we do know one thing about Google, that if, for example, I'm looking at my email right now, and an email I set up on Gmail, okay? Someone sent me an email. I'm looking at it. And depending what the content inside the email is,
okay,
it'll hone in on the keywords that are there, and it'll try to sell you whatever the person talked to you about.
It comes back to you with what, like a spam email?
Yes.
So let's say somebody sends you an email and says, "Hey, Bill, I got your two concert tickets.
Yeah,
I know you like ZZ Top, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you get spam from some company that wants you to buy tickets? Or
absolutely right. Yes.
It's amazing.
It's all. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like it's artificial intelligence at its best.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, for example, anybody out there right now, they could go and, they've had to notice this. So they use Google as a search engine.
But we're so used to this now, Bill.
I know.
Emailing is such a breeze, and research on the internet has made jobs, my job, for example, in a nice, concise mm-hmm. packet. I mean, we can't stop, can we?
Yes, we can't stop, but what we can do is protect, and we can become aware, and we can hold these companies accountable for what they do. And no one is holding them accountable right now. They're above the law.
And they're getting bigger and bigger.
They're getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger and being bigger, bigger, bigger every single day. In my book, Confessions of a Spam King, I talk about stories and they're true stories, things that have happened to myself.
I want you to share some of those when we come back in just a moment, Bill, some of those stories and also how we can protect ourselves. It's a floating format night tonight. We've got Bill Wagoner for another hour. We'll take some calls as well. Lots more to talk with him about. And then later on in the program tonight, Daniel Estelin joins us as we talk about Shadow Masters and the Bilderbergs, how he believes governments and intelligence agencies are working with the international drug dealers. But why? More to come on Coast to Coast AM.